tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on a beautiful Thursday morning, WMIE 91.5 FM. Aren't we blessed to have a radio station in Brevard County that takes the good news of Jesus Christ? I don't know if you ever watch the news and get bummed out because it's nothing but bad news, but you can tune in to WMIE and hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that your sins are washed away. The good news is that you have a hope and a place that is being prepared for you, that you get to spend forever in heaven with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's good news. And I think people are a lot happier when they hear good news than they are bad news. And so my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. If you are contacting us about the complaint department, that's in the basement at Merit Assembly of God. We don't have a basement. That's a joke. It's a joke. It's early of a morning. Lighten up. Goodness. And so we would love to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. We have a great body of believers, not the largest church in town, but we do want to do our very best at making disciples. And I just want to take just a moment today to say thank you to a couple of young ladies in particular, and that those are my daughters. They help us out with children's ministry and youth ministry. Each one of them heads that up. They came up with some phenomenal ideas for ministry, help me out technology. They try and keep this middle-aged guy young, and they have a passion for Jesus that is contagious, and we are blessed at Merit Assembly of God to be able to have them who serve. And you know, a lot of times you might think, well, you know, they're the pastor's just got people there and he's paying them and all. No. My family, they volunteer at church. They all have full-time jobs, and they pour their heart and soul into ministry, into reaching other people. My wife does. She's discipled my daughters to do that. And Merit Assembly of God is blessed because we have a whole church full of people like that, by the way. My daughters happen to head up a couple of ministries. My wife heads up the women's ministries. But we have a great, great body of believers. They have servants' hearts, and they want to experience the presence of God, and they want people are in this community to experience the presence of God. So I'm blessed just to be the pastor of such a great church. So I also want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I was talking with Mr. Anderson here not too long ago, and he was describing a job that they were doing. It was a technical job as far as I was concerned. It's not something that I would want to try and figure out, but they were describing how they were doing it, and their work was necessary in order to make sure that a facility — this was a renovation project that they were tackling, it was a large-scale project — and they were taking care of that. They've done some smaller projects. They were big to us, they were small to them. And so if you've got a project that you need block or concrete work done, I encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. That'll get you Greg. Now he's a hardworking guy, so you might get a voicemail. One of the things that I have found with working with contractors is if they're busy and their phone rings, they may not be able to get to that phone right now. They've got more pressing matters. They may have to get back to you. I also encourage you, don't wait till the last minute. Give them a call and have them come out well in advance so that you can get on the schedule, so that when the time comes, you're not waiting on them and they're not waiting on you and everybody's waiting on a concrete guy. They can coordinate all of that sort of stuff. 321-536-5804. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to begin a study. We're going to be in John chapter 16 is where we're going to start. Remember, We have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We came to the section in Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. We started teaching through the Lord's Prayer, and we got fixated on this part, lead us not into temptation, which caused us to go into a study on the leadership of the Lord. There are a lot of different things that lead people in their lives. So in John chapter 16, we are going to jump into another little vein of truth here, literally, that is going to take us a few days. It's not going to take us weeks and months to get through here, but it's going to take us a few days to get through this. And once I read this text, you will understand why I say that. In John chapter 16, verse number 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So as we are looking at this concept of God's leadership, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is very instrumental in that. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father, and when I go to the Father, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. It is expedient for you. It is in your best interest that I go to the Father, because if I don't, then the Spirit of truth will not come." I want you to understand that when the Holy Spirit is moving and ministering in our lives, he is not looking to bring us to a status quo. He is looking to begin a journey with us where he will guide us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. Now, and you used to never think that you would have to have this discussion. You used to think that truth was truth, that it was settled fact, and that no one would be debating the truth. I know that Pilate, when he was cross-examining Jesus, that he said, "What is truth?" There are a lot of people who don't understand what truth is. So let me begin by telling you what truth isn't. Truth is not opinion. You know, I could tell you, you know what, peach cobbler is the best ice cream, or strawberry shortcake is the best, or peach cobbler is the best dessert. Strawberry shortcake is the best dessert. I could tell you that, but in actuality, what I've just told you is my opinion. Those things make my taste buds happy. You can tell that same statement to other people where they've had a bad experience with those particular items, and they would dispute that with you, because what you are not talking about, you're not talking about truth, you're talking about opinion. I remember when I got trained to do premarital preparations with couples, that I came across this principle that there are absolutes, there are preferences, and there are convictions. There's those three things there, you know. There are things that I prefer that you don't prefer. There are convictions, things that I feel strongly about, but I cannot say with 100% absolute certainty that they are beyond question the truth. I think that when anybody starts talking to you about eschatology, the end times, now listen, Jesus is coming again. That is an absolute truth. The timing of that, you may have convictions like I have convictions, and my convictions are not based upon my personal opinion. They're not based upon what someone told me. My convictions are based upon the Word of God. But the truth of the matter is, there's no one who's going to know with absolute certainty when the return of Christ is coming until that day that the Father leans over to the Son and says, "It's time, go get your bride." He will not have to tell Jesus twice. It will not go up for discussion in a committee. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, and you and I need to be ready for that. Like I tell people, there's not going to be this gloating and boasting and celebrating and taunting that takes place when the rapture happens, and there's not going to be a group that is going up and said, oh, no, I thought it was mid and it ended up being pre. There's not going to be people saying, well, I thought it was going to be pre and it ended up being mid. There's not going to be any remorse. There's also not going to be any taunting. Ha ha ha. I told you, look at me. I was right. There's not going to be any of that. There's just going to be celebration that we have been gathered up into the throne room of heaven. I tell people that they need to prepare their life so that they are going to stay true to the faith of the Lord Jesus, no matter when it happens, no matter what type of persecution breaks out. You also need to be ready to go at a moment's notice because you're one heartbeat away from eternity. I don't know which heartbeat it'll be, but you and I have got to be ready. That's absolute truth. So I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. What gives him his credibility, what Jesus says, is he does not speak on his own authority. You need to have authority over your life. I mean, even the Holy Spirit is operating under the authority of God the Father here. He's God the Holy Spirit. They're all one. There's one God. They're manifesting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They operate as one. They operate in perfect agreement with one another. But the Father is saying, you know what? This is what I want you to be doing. The Holy Spirit, he comes into our lives to guide us into all truth, and he doesn't speak of his own authority. I am always strongly suspect of people who have no authority over them in their life. I am not here as one without authority over me. The centurion said, I am a man under authority. I believe that it is healthy to have authority. I think that it is healthy to have accountability. And plus, I want people to say, you know, this, we recognize the anointing of God, the call of God upon your life. We recognize that this is where he has placed you, and we want to help you to fulfill the assignment that God has given to you. I believe that that is very true. I don't want to speak what is just coming from my head or pops into my mind. One of the things that I say is just because something crosses my mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross my lips. We need to speak, thus saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes and he speaks according to the authority of the Godhead. He says, I'm going to speak absolute truth. He says, whatever he hears, he will speak. I tell you, that is a great, great rule to operate your life by, is listen to the voice of God, listen to the heartbeat of God, and the things that you hear, those are the things that you speak. That is what Jesus did. He said, the things that I hear my Father say, those are the things that I speak. The things that I see my Father do, those are the things that I do. And so I want to encourage you, before we engage our lips and our vocal cords and our lungs, let's make sure that we have engaged our spiritual ears, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak the things that he has heard. Now, you've got to understand that he is going to speak in your life and my life. He's going to speak according to what we are able to bear. You find that truth in verse number 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That doesn't mean that he intends for you never to be able to bear them. He is looking to bring you from precept to precept, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from truth to even greater truth, as you and I are able to handle them. If you are never taught basic math, you are never going to be able to function on the level of calculus or trigonometry or geometry or analytics. If you and I do not learn the basics of God's word, then we're never going to understand the greater depths of God's word. We're never going to be able to move forward and to mature in our faith. We need the Holy Spirit saying, God, what is your word? So there are umpteen million churches in America. That's a technical number. I don't know exactly the number, but there are a lot of them. And you know what? Each one of those congregations is made up of a bunch of different people going through a bunch of different stages, going through a bunch of different circumstances, and God knows what each one of them is going through. And, you know, my responsibility at Merit Assembly of God is to hear from God. God, what do you want to say to the people at Merit Assembly of God right now, today? I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of wonderful preachers, better preachers, can compose a better sermon, can deliver with greater eloquence a truth. What I'm saying is those pastors have been mandated by God with a word for their congregation. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to go and buy their sermon and preach it to your congregation and say, you know what, this is a thus saith the Lord. Too many people are trying to duplicate a specific guidance, a specific word from God to a specific congregation. And it's not that it's under a private interpretation. There was somebody in that meeting that needed to hear that word. So whenever I'm not preaching at Merit Assembly of God and I'm going to another church, and if I'm not preaching, I'm going there expecting to receive. When we go to our men's convention here in a couple of weekends, I'm going to go there and I'm going to be preparing to receive, because God's got something that he wants to speak to me. A few weeks ago, we had a word from the Lord that came at the end of our worship time. It said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That was all the word said. So what I did was I was over there, I was preparing to preach, and I said, God, I cannot do this without you. The things that I am tasked with doing, I cannot do without you. You and I, we need to not dread the Holy Spirit's activity in our life. We need to realize what a blessing God the Holy Spirit is in our lives, and that he's going to speak, and he's going to tell us things that are going to come, and he will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is never about drawing attention to the preacher. The Holy Spirit is never about drawing attention to himself. The Holy Spirit is always pointing people to Jesus. He's guiding us into truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So let's look at a little bit at some of what the scripture has to say about truth. In Mark chapter 12 and verse number 32, we find this verse. It says, so the scribes said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. What we're talking about here is absolute truth. There is one God. I'm not him. You're not him. No one that you will ever encounter is him. There's not a politician that is him. I tell you, it makes my head ache whenever I hear somebody who's amassed a small little following of, you know, 10,000 people or something like that, and then all of a sudden they get inflated and they come out with this declaration, and there are people in America that are making this declaration right now, and they say, oh, I am God. I am Jesus. There are the David Koreshes in the world that have made that declaration. There are other people that I'm not even going to give them the dignity of mentioning their name, who've made the statement, I am Jesus. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Okay. I'm a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but there's one thing I'm not. I'm not Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was without flaw and without blemish. And I've witnessed a lot of people who've done some amazing things, but I've never met a perfect person yet. And if you're not perfect, you're not Jesus. If anybody ever says anything to you like you're the Messiah, you're the Savior, when my son was going to college, they had him take a personality profile. And one of the things that it mentioned in the personality profiles was that there were people who had a Messiah complex, that they felt like it was their job to save. It was they were to ride to the rescue for everybody who found themselves in a problem situation. I want you to know that there is one Messiah. His name is Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father right now praying for you. I'm not the Messiah. You're not the Messiah. And if anybody starts laying accolades on you and saying you're the Messiah, I've seen videos of that taking place on a political spectrum. And it's like, no, that's dangerous. Read in the scriptures what happened when one of the Herods, Herod Agrippa, I believe it was, and people started saying, you know, this is not the voice of a man. It is the voice of God. And he believed it, embraced it, and it consumed him. He ended up dying because he did not give the glory to God. Absolute truth. There is only one God. There's none other but him. Okay? So if anyone tries to elevate anything, any person, any truth beyond the fact that there is just one God, then you need to reject that. There is an argument that says, you know what, it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe in, just as long as you are sincere. Well, I want you to know that that is, according to Oklahoma vernacular, that's baloney. It's garbage. You can believe that you can drink something and it's not going to harm you, but if it's toxic, it's going to kill you. Okay? Now, you are welcome to believe whatever you want to believe, but just because you believe something does not make it true. And that is really where we run into some challenges. The Bible talks about that in the last days there would be deceiving spirits, that people would be following deceiving spirits. They would be embracing the teaching of these deceiving spirits. And so we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is operating in our life, because he's going to guide us into all truth. And as part of his guidance, he is going to guide us away from anything that is not absolute truth. Okay, so absolute truth. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 34, let me turn over just a second there. This is where Peter was preaching at Cornelius. And it says in verse number 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, that he is no respecter of persons. Okay, an absolute truth is that God does not show partiality. I don't care how famous you are, how rich you are. God is not going to show me any different standard because I'm a pastor than he does any other person. I still have to have my sins forgiven. I still have to have him living in my heart. You know, there's a saying that says God has no grandchildren. Just because, you know, my kids are my kids does not mean they're going to heaven. They're going to heaven because Jesus is living in their heart. My grandkids are absolutely adorable, but you know, they need Jesus living in their heart. And there are a lot of people, I say this, there are a lot of people who think just because you live in America and you've rejected God, you fought against God, you were at enmity against God, you think that just because you're blessed to live in America that you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven just because you were rich. You're not going to heaven just because you were poor. The only way you get into heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ washing away your sins. That standard isn't going to change. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Okay? You say, well, I don't believe that. That's fine. There are benefits and consequences to everything that we believe. Okay? My wife and I were having a discussion, we had both perceived something about this particular situation, and in those particular cases, both of our perceptions, neither my perception nor her perception agreed with one another on either one of the fronts, and turns out that both of our perceptions was wrong. I don't know if you remember the episode with Happy Days where Fonzie was wrong, and he's like, he just couldn't bring himself to say that he was wrong. Okay, I encourage you, be wrong less, be right more. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation into our lives where he guides us into all truth. And the truth of the matter is this: God is not just interested in bringing you into spiritual truth. He's interested in bringing you into relational truth and financial truth and physical truth. He's looking to bring you into a truth of God's wisdom. He's looking to expose folly and reveal wisdom in your life and my life. God, the Holy Spirit, is a blessing from heaven who wants to guide us into all truth. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Oh,